Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the best in auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. Bundles, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And also their ability to give back to the community over the years has been so important and is going to be more important than ever. All right, so let's now bring in Matt Cotrillo. Sir, welcome.
Why, thank you. How's it going?
Good. We are in, as always, in separate locations, thus we have been practicing social distancing forever on the show.
Exactly right. By about 90 miles or so.
So, yeah. But it's... Let's start with this. Sal Palantonio, by the way, at 4:06 today on what is an incredible day. I mean, incredible day, NFL-wise. We're going to get to that. We'll have Mark Brennan on today, 3:35. We got Neil Riddell. We'll put him on tomorrow. Is that fair, Matt?
That works for me.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right, because we'll have Neil Coolong on tomorrow as well, and we could have Neil on. Neil and Neil. We'll have Neil squared. Let's start with this. Number one, no matter what we do on this show, we're going to start with whatever the news of the day happens to be. It is going to be our important job here to make sure you are up to date on everything that's going on in the world and not just sports. So we have a responsibility here to do that here. Matt is a brilliant young newscaster who does a great job and has done a great job for a long time here. Information is going to be part of the power that gets us back on track. And this show, if we're going to be on the air every day, you know, since we are on the air every day, since we're on the air 5 days a week in this time slot, if there's anything you need to know, we're going to tell you. That's our responsibility as broadcasters. Since we're on the air 5 days a week in this time slot, if there's something you need to know, we're going to let you know right away. That's where Matt comes in. And right now, there really is, it's really just whatever information you've been hearing is what we have right now.
That's exactly right. So right now, we have the statewide shutdown of bars and restaurants from Governor Tom Wolf. We played that audio earlier, and now the governor is also now mentioning it's calling for all non-essential businesses in PA to close, including non-essential stores, bars, and restaurants, except for takeout offerings. Also includes day programs for senior citizens, which includes some here in the Valley. Drug stores and grocery stores are among the businesses deemed essential and which will remain open. Gas stations will also remain open. So that's probably the number one thing that everyone wants to know right now. Are those grocery stores and gas stations going to stay open? Yes, they will, according to the governor. Then the Department of Community and Economic Development issued guidelines on what are essential and non-essential businesses. Non-essential businesses include community and recreation centers, gyms, including yoga, bear and spin facilities, hair salons, nail salons and spas, casinos, concert venues, theaters, bars, sporting event venues, and golf courses, retail facilities, including shopping malls and except for pharmacy, or other healthcare facilities within retail operations. Restaurants urged to only remain open for carryout and delivery orders only. So if you're not in that category, you're open. But if you're in that category, you're not open. We'll have this information continue to post, too, on WKOK.com.
And again, that's going to be a part of the responsibility of this show is going to update you all the time. It's part of the responsibility of the show. And we'll make sure if there's anything that comes across in the middle of the show, we shut down the sports talk part of it, and we go to that part of it right there. Okay.
And also, if you're Catholic, Steve, the Diocese of Harrisburg is now temporarily suspending all daily and weekend masses. And the Bishop Ronald Gaynor has asked all churches and chapels to be closed.
Well, I mean, but here's the logic in that. The logic in that is quite simple. If the CDC is recommending, I mean, it's not a mandate, but they're recommending no gatherings of more than 50 for 8 weeks. That falls into the going to Mass falls into those guidelines. And look, I think people who know me, they know I'm a devout Catholic. I've never missed Mass. I think the one time I missed, I was coming back from a road trip, and I walked in right at the end of it. On the road I go. So for me, if they tell me, for example, now I'm in the Altoona Diocese, I'm not in the Harrisburg Diocese. But if they're recommending no gatherings of more than 50, that's obviously one of them. Okay? So we'll see. We'll see moving forward what the... Now, Sunbury, Sealands Grove, Danville are all in the Harrisburg Diocese, correct? Or
yes.
Are they in the Wilkes-Barre?
Yes.
Or are they in Scranton? No.
There, it's all a lot of dioceses, yeah. Diocese of Harrisburg.
Okay. Okay.
We're the northern part of the Diocese of Harrisburg up here.
Yep. Okay. Got it. And little Luke, by the way, was just baptized, as a matter of fact.
Correct.
So I was sent all sorts of pictures, and it's really great, actually. You know, beautiful family. Now let's get to the NFL part. There are some people, and I understand this argument completely, about the look of the NFL with all the free agency happening. Okay? I understand that. In fact, we'll go right to Peter King's column about this. Okay? The optics are awful. One owner and two general managers that Peter King spoke with Sunday were somewhere between frustrated and furious that Wednesday's 4 p.m. start of the free agency period hadn't been delayed. The owner called it tone deaf. Tone deaf is right, one of the GMs told Peter on the phone, breathing fire. The world has stopped. We are in a national emergency as a country, and we do this. It's awful. We're telling the rest of the world we don't care. Can you imagine the reaction to some player signing a $60 million contract this week? And that being in the headlines, well, thousands and thousands of people are losing their jobs because of this virus. It's ridiculous. Now there's a different point of view, and I'll give you that one. History is a great teacher. And I know it was a different situation. It was not a viral outbreak. And we're not going to go back to 1918 and the Spanish flu. Because that, you know, we're talking about something 102 years ago, the landscape of everything was so different than now. But back in World War II, and out of the Great Depression, and in the Great Depression, which then eventually there's World War II, Major League Baseball, the commissioner, and maybe a couple of owners, went to President Franklin Roosevelt and said, look, you know, should we shut the season down? And he said, no. Same thing with the NFL. You notice the NFL didn't either. You may have had mergers. Eagles and Steelers became the Steagles. And then another season, the Steelers merged with the Chicago Cardinals and were called Card Pitt. But they played. you notice, for example, college football records go back through the 40s. Why is this? Franklin Roosevelt wanted sports to continue because he wanted the country to have something that was at least something that had a sense of, for the lack of a better word, normalcy to it. Something that could be a distraction. Believe me, in the Depression and in the Depression, people were losing their jobs left and right. And then you had, of course, World War II. You ever see the movie Cinderella Man? You ever see that with Russell Crowe?
No, I have not.
You should take a look at it sometime. Renee Zellweger, who just won the Academy Award for playing Judy Garland. Renee Zellweger plays the wife of James J. Braddock. James J. Braddock was played by Russell Crowe. Braddock is, I mean, look, he is doing whatever he can to find work wherever he can while still boxing here and there. It's the Depression. People are down in their luck. You know, lines of people hoping that that particular day in the line, they get called to work that day so they can somehow put some bread on the table. Braddock keeps fighting, right, while still working on the docks. And finally, for whatever reason, after being pretty good, he starts to become a little bit better than pretty good. And he finally works his way to the point where he gets a fight against Max Baer, the world heavyweight champion. Now, for those of you who watch the television show and reruns, The Beverly Hillbillies, you see Jethro Bodine, that's Max Baer Jr., that's his son. Max Baer was the flamboyant heavyweight champion of the world. Now, this isn't televised, this is at one of the early, there have been four Madison Square Gardens, which one this one, I don't know, was the second or third Madison Square Garden. Braddock fights him. And people all over the country are glued to radios, listening to the fight. Why was that? They needed the entertainment. They needed the distraction. And that's why they kept playing the games. Now, this is a little bit different. We aren't playing the games right now because they need to have the arenas closed. Just went through the list of non-essential. They need to have the arenas closed. And that's where the NFL comes in this regard. Right now, there's no news in Major League Baseball. The next news might be the release of the Red Sox investigation. Maybe they'll do that during this time frame. I mean, allegedly, it's done. So that might be news there. There's no real news in the NHL, just waiting to come back. No news in horse racing. It's obviously, they haven't announced it yet, but the Kentucky Derby, I'm sure, is going to be delayed in one form or another. The Masters has already been postponed. The Boston Marathon's been moved to September. I mean, there's just a long list of things. Baseball's hoping that they can be playing before Memorial Day weekend, and right about that time, maybe the NBA hopes to be playing, maybe June 1. Okay. So, while it looks like, and I can obviously see the argument about appearing tone deaf. But if I were sitting in the president's shoes and the NFL came to me and asked me about this, I would tell them the same thing that Franklin Roosevelt probably would have told them. Do it. Go ahead. Because guess what? You just cannot sit there the entire time and just look at each other and go, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. What's it like for you being, you know, holed up? I mean, that's the conversation in the country? Like, all the time? Yeah, at the end of the day, you need something else along the way. That's what this does. The NFL's not playing games right now. There are no games for them to postpone or cancel. But they have this. So suddenly today, let's start with this. The vote comes out, and when the vote comes out, the CBA narrowly passes with more than 500 not voting. But it passes like, what, 51.5% to 48.5%? Is that about right, Matt? That sound right to you?
Yeah, the exact vote count was 1019 to 959 with 500 players actually not voting for it at all.
So 60 vote difference.
Right.
And Penn State's Allen Robinson was absolutely against it. So now you've got that. And then today, DeAndre Hopkins got traded by the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals. Tom Brady's sitting out there after Ryan Tannehill agreed to a new contract with the Titans. Dak Prescott gets franchised. Derrick Henry gets franchised. And guess what? Has nothing to do with this show at all. Nothing. But guess what? As a distraction, now you have something to talk about. Something that seems normal. Ramon Foster decided to retire today. Okay? Anthony Ciccolo released. Mark Barron released by the Steelers as well. It's normal.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance need happens to be. And on top of that, bundles. They're great people who are great professionals. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Talking about, obviously, what the NFL has been doing, the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Sal Palantonio is going to join us in the next half hour to talk about that and more. The draft will continue as planned with no fans on hand in Las Vegas. The NFL, by the way, is now looking to give an NFL draft back to Vegas in the future, but also looking to give them a Super Bowl as well to try and make up for it. So, when you're looking at 56 days being 8 weeks, which is what the CDC is recommending, April 23rd is 38 days away. Last year, an estimated 600,000 gathered in and around Nashville for the draft. Vegas probably could have at least matched that. So we'll see what happens, but they're going to continue with the draft. All right, so he's in the next half hour. With that, we bring in Mark Brennan, 24/7 Sports, and also from Fight on Steak. Great to have you with us, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd be talking here and now, but here we are, the way things have kind of played out.
Yeah, so the way it played out, as I said, I was sitting there Wednesday night, and we were at a group eating, and as soon as I saw the Rudy Gobert story, I looked at everybody and said, that's it, it's done.
Yeah.
And I think that's what did it. I think if the Rudy Gobert situation does not happen, he and Donovan Mitchell, I think that we're talking about Penn State playing Maryland tonight in an empty arena.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you, and it's one of those things where, you know, let's all hope that Rudy Gobert is going to be fine, yeah. But, you know, maybe that's one of those bad things that happen that is going to prevent a lot of bad things happening to other people.
Sure.
So, you know, he's a young, healthy guy, and, you know, your heart goes out to him. I like the fact that he acknowledged that he made some mistakes, you know, goofing around about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think he was alone in that. I think there were a lot of people at a lot of levels of this country who underestimated it. But once the NBA shut down, I thought it was kind of inevitable, not just the Big Ten tournament, but also NCAAs. And listen, your heart goes out to all of the senior players, but, you know, to me, especially Lamar Stevens, mm-hmm. that's not to discount Mike Watkins, but, you know, to me, Lamar was everything that Penn State basketball is all about. And the fact that he stayed with the sole purpose of trying to fight for a Big Ten title, the record, I don't think that was that big of a deal to him. I think he would have liked to get the scoring record, but, he really wanted to get this team to the NCAA tournament, and he did it. And for it to end this way for him, your heart goes out to him. But I think everybody realizes that this is one of those situations in life where it's just, you know, people are getting dealt a raw deal and there's nothing you could do about it because the safety of everybody is more important.
Oh, and there's no question about that. This is a health and safety situation with something that's invisible. And invisibility makes it more fearful. So when you sit there and you look at, should the NCAA have, let's start with this, at minimum, so that the student-athletes at least knew what the deal was, at minimum at least said, okay, here's what the bracket would have been, and that way the players at least knew they made it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have been absolutely fine with that. I mean, that to me, but I think, Steve, what may have happened is that things were happening at warp speed. And, you know, as we learned with the NCAA, now fortunately I think they learned some lessons from their past, that when they have to operate at warp speed, they don't always take all things into consideration. But, I mean, having said that, honestly, listen, that would have been nice for them to do. I would love to have seen them do it and love to see the players who deserved it get that acknowledgement. But ultimately, everybody's going to be as safe as possible.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah, I'm just saying it's a benign thing to do that because you're not going to play, but at least at minimum, let players know and coaches know, hey, you made it. Right? And that way you at least walk away with that, even though it's not going to mean anything competition-wise.
No, and I think Penn State's the perfect example. I mean, Rutgers is the perfect
example.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a team that most likely played its way into the tournament, and, you know, after the long hiatus they've had from being in the tournament, you know, that would have been, you know, we saw what happened with Northwestern a few years ago when they finally made it in and what a big deal it was. You know, imagine if Northwestern had been robbed of that. So I absolutely agree with you 100% on that it would have been nice. But I would also say that I think the NCAA, they got it right big picture this time.
Oh, yeah.
But I think in a lot of instances, they missed the little details. And, again, we've seen that firsthand.
Right. And, again, you know, big picture, yeah, this would be just one of those, hey, look, you know what, in a bad situation, and you know, and it's bad, we made the right call. But you know what? We just want you guys to know, you women to know, women's tournament as well, right? That you made it, right? That
great
way,
job, yep.
That you accomplished something in our eyes. And you know, I know it's. Remember, it is about the kids. So it's okay to let them know, hey, look, at least have the satisfaction of knowing that if it had happened, because it doesn't take much to do that, Mark. It doesn't take much to sit there and announce what the feel would have been.
No. And I mean, listen, you know, regardless of what Archie Miller may say, I think one good part is that you have guys like Joe Lenardi, who's, you know, almost universally respected,
yes,
except for, I think, one basketball coach, and Jerry Palm, who are very good at doing this. So I think, if nothing else, agree with you 100%, would have been great for the NCAA to do. But I think, if nothing else, a lot of people could look at their brackets and say, hey, these guys are like 98% correct,
right,
most years.
Sure. Right.
At least you have that to fall back on.
Right.
And I'm sorry for taking a shot at Archie Miller, but I Joe Lunardi, I've never met him, but I've never heard anything but good stuff about him, and that was terrible.
I can tell you in no uncertain terms that the only way you cannot possibly like Joe Lunardi is if you just flat out don't like people. If you like people, you'll love Joe. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. So,
and these guys are known for, like, operating on pure data.
Absolutely.
It's not their opinion.
Their opinion. Their opinion may be, like, maybe what region... opening site you're going to. Okay, I'm going to guess and put you in Sacramento. But they're trying to think as the committee thinks, not how they think. And because Jerry was the one that told me. Jerry was the one that told me that on the show last year. He said, "Look, Steve, my opinion isn't in this thing at all." All right. So now let's get to the what Penn State basketball accomplished this season. When Lamar Stevens announced in May what he wanted to do, that he was going to come back, and Mike Watkins had announced before that. Now you watch the full body of work. If we were to have sat there on November 1st, season hasn't begun, and I were to tell you 21 wins, 11 in the Big Ten, a 5 seed or 6 seed in the tournament, what would you have said?
Oh, I would say that Penn State would have taken that in a heartbeat. And I think most fans would have taken it in a heartbeat. And I think the only negative out of this season to fans, and you know, the thing with fans, and it's all of us by nature, is that we tend to focus on what's right in our rearview mirror.
That's right.
And when you lose 5 of the last 6, now if they had interspersed those in there and finished with the same record, I don't think people would have been quite so riled up. But that's the other reason why I think this hurts, is because I think this team had more in it. I think getting a break going into Big Tens and then the NCAA tournament was really going to help it. And I think it had the opportunity to do some things. This was, you know, to me, one of the very best seasons. I mean, again, you tend to look at the most recent things that have happened. You know, I will always look back at that 2001 team as, you know, what an absolute blast to cover. But, you know, the one thing I will say, and I, on our podcast, and you've seen a lot of Penn State basketball more than I have, but in my book, I think Lamar Stevens, without doubt, established himself as the best player in Penn State history. And that's with all due respect to people who love Jesse Arnell, but I think it was a different game back then. But especially in the era when we've been able to follow it, there have been some very, very good players. But I think the way Lamar Stevens put this team on his shoulders, he didn't just produce stat-wise. He actually sacrificed some of his stats for the good of the team and had unprecedented success for a stretch there and took this team into the tournament. So I'm not looking to put words in your mouth, but in my view, I think Lamar Stevens established himself as the best player in Penn State history.
I would say that I'll classify this in two different ways. Number one, in the last 4 minutes of a game, or in particular the last 2 minutes of a game, if I had to pick one guy in my career in the last 2 minutes, it's Taylor Battle. Only because of I watched him over and over again. There are some games where Taylor had one of those, okay, he's 3 for 13, and all of a sudden in the last 2 minutes he makes like 2 threes. You're like, okay, it's like he's done it again. But if you're talking about a full body 40-minute player a night, Lamar Stevens is the best I've seen here at Penn State. 40 minutes a night.
Can I tell people a quick story about that?
Yeah.
At the Coaches versus Cancer golf tournament every year, I try to have some fun and take a kind of a humorous look at things. So in Taylor Battle last year at Penn State, I drove around. Joe Crispin was coming off of an injury overseas.
Okay.
And I drove around in a golf cart with Joe Crispin, and I asked everybody, who was a better point guard at Penn State, Joe Crispin or Taylor Battle? And the gag was that Joe Crispin was right there.
Right.
So people had to there was only one person who broke it down analytically, and that was you. Everybody else was joking about
That's
it.
True.
And you hit me with the, you know what, if you look at Taylor Battle in the last 4 minutes of close games, everybody else, like Tyler Smith, was busting on Joe, saying, Joe is terrible. Taylor Battle's way better. So you took it analytically like you always do, and that's why everybody loves you. Sorry, Steve, I had to tell that story. I thought people would get a kick out of it.
It's a great story. I mean, it just shows you what an idiot I am. All right, so, which is fine. I don't mind. So now, what do you think about now the future for Penn State? So no matter what, Lamar Steve, let me ask, before I get to that question, let me ask a different question. It's the one I asked Sandy, because obviously there's a lot of brainstorming going on. Now, many of these players would not come back. You know, hey, I want to start my professional life, my professional career. But some have dangled in the media.
Yeah.
Hey, let the senior come back, and if they want to play the extra year, I don't care whether it's tennis, hockey, men's basketball, whatever. Should that be allowed, or do you just keep it status quo?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that, and I just think that would be such a logistical nightmare because everybody's already recruited. And so look at basketball. I mean, Lamar's spot has been filled. And that's not to say that they couldn't make exceptions, but then how do you make exceptions? And then you look across the spectrum of sports. Well, baseball has this many scholarships. Wrestling has this many.
Right.
You know, basketball are full scholarships that all of you don't give out partial scholarships. Yeah. So I think that would be kind of a minefield that they couldn't get through.
And here's the part of the minefield, in my opinion, that would be difficult to get through. Remember, athletic departments have to pay for the scholarships.
Right.
I mean, now Lamar is an in-state player, as an example. Okay, Curtis Jones is not. All right, I'm just using the basketball example. Mm-hmm. Many of the hockey players are not in-state products or out-of-state products. So an athletic department would then have to come up with the funds because you don't know how many of them would come back. And that does become an issue.
And, you know, the other thing on a more local basis, I mean, when you look at somebody like Lamar, he put his heart and soul into this season. And I just don't know that he would have that in him again. I just don't, you know, I don't know. I don't want to be speaking for him. But, I mean, you know, this is like a guy just finished running a marathon, you know, didn't get to run the last couple miles, but still put everything into that. And I just think it would be very difficult. Again, having said all that, your heart just goes out to all these athletes and all the sports, all the seniors. I mean, it's just so tough. And, you know, I'm seeing it. You know, my daughter's a senior at State High. We're hoping she's able to play softball. But if she's not, I mean, she's come to the realization that, listen, there are bigger things kind of at work here.
No
so
question.
It's athletes across all spectrums, you know, pro, college, high school, smaller leagues. And we all know, one thing, Stephen, you know this very well because you've had kids in this community.
Yeah.
The sports organizations in this community are fantastic. The people at State High are fantastic.
Yep.
And it's just going to be a shame if, you know, I hope they can find a way that we can keep all these sports going. If we can't, we can't. But I just know the impact that it's had on our family and our kid.
My
family. And you were very heavily involved. Yeah, so many people. And I think, you know, sometimes we have to take a step back and say, hey, okay, losing the NCAA tournament is terrible. But, you know, there are kids out there that are losing their quote-unquote NCAA tournament in their season. So it's not just at the college level or pro level. You know, there are a lot of people at the high school level who will never play a sport again. You know, they're playing it because they love the sport. So your heart goes out to all those people. And, you know, hopefully they find a way that people can play. But if they don't, I mean, it's a very tough lesson for young athletes. Very, very difficult.
Obviously, part of this is you now have to examine the other 13 schools in the Big Ten as to who they lose and who they have back. You know, like Anthony Cowan will be gone. Jalen Smith, I think, is going to go to the NBA draft. But how do you view now the long-term future of Penn State basketball? Because in reality, they have won 61 games the last 3 years, including 21 this year.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key things this year, Steve, is that John Hara, I'm not saying that he's a guy that you're going to build your offense around or build your defense around, but I think he really emerged as a leader, and so did Jamari Wheeler. It's going to be real key for Myron Jones to come back at the level that he was playing when he got sick. And I think one of the other real key guys is going to be Seth Lundy. To me, Seth Lundy has a gigantic upside.
Yes.
You know, he's not as explosive as Lamar, but he's clearly a much more dangerous three-point shooter than Lamar.
Yep.
And people don't understand how big he is. I mean, I'm not saying he's not 6'10".
No.
But, I mean, is he 6'6", 6'7"? Yeah, whatever they list him at. But
he's right around 6'6", 6'7", and entered school with what I would call a Big Ten body.
Right. And long, and also very long arms put together. And, I mean, when you stand next to him, you're like, this is a...
And a very high release when he shoots, too.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be tough to duplicate what they did this year, just because I think Lamar was such a special player.
Sure. Yeah.
But I did like the way. I mean, if you would have told me a couple of years ago, John Hara, I just loved his season.
Yeah.
I just loved his season.
Yeah.
You know, here was a guy who couldn't find his role. They put him in a starting lineup, and you know what? All he does is play tremendous defense. Rebounds, screens, just a perfect complementary player. And, showed a lot of leadership skills, was out there talking to the media all the time. You're not going to build your offense around him, but he's the leadership kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's going to be tough to repeat what they did this year
unless
some people step up. Now, we have seen it in the past. I mean, I remember John Amici. They lose John Amici, and the next year they go to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
They lose Jarrett Stevens, and the next year they go to the NCAA tournament. I think those teams had more proven commodities coming back. And I'm not saying there aren't some proven commodities on this team, but I think there are some wild cards that, if they do step up, I think will be real helpful for them.
Mark, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
No problem. Stay safe, everybody.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The suit is in the back office playing air guitar to this. You just got to shake your head sometimes. All right. The big trade is the DeAndre Hopkins trade. For the third time in 8 months, the Houston Texans have traded for a running back. How about that? This time they give up DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, this I don't quite understand from what the Texans are doing here.
Well, you have John McClain's number, right?
I do, yeah. We'll have to bring him on.
Before the week is out, we need to get John on, who's one of the great guys on the planet. We also got to get a call to Tony Knopp here at some point, too. Sure, he has some interesting insight on all this and more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15.